it's still not clear to me exactly what's driving some of those recommendations.
Meanwhile, vaccinated customers can remove their masks at MGM strip resorts, not the employees. The employees have to remain with masks, but the customers don't have to. Somebody explain that one to me. MGM Resorts CEO Bill Hornbuckle said the company's workforce, even those fully vaccinated, are still required to wear masks while on property. Stay with us. We'll see what it all means. Checking in with Michael Shouse, Communications Director at NPRI. That's Nevada Policy Research Institute. Stay with us. I'm Kevin Wall. Good to have you with us on this Friday on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors, and I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cycery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCycery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Gasoline shortage is spreading from the south. Runs on gas following a ransomware cyber attack. Georgia-based Colonial Pipeline reports making substantial progress now in getting the pipeline back into service. Democrats are fighting among themselves over U.S. support for Israel in its fight against the terrorist group Hamas. Bob Agnew has more.
Democrats are seeing a fracture in their normally unified ranks over the issue of U.S. support for the Jewish state. Anti-Israel sentiments coming from lawmakers like Representative Ilhan Omar, who calls Israeli airstrikes that left civilians dead in Gaza terrorist attacks. Progressives like Elizabeth Warren and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez condemning Israel's planned evictions in East Jerusalem. But Maryland Democrat Ben Cardin joins most Republicans in praising Israel as what he calls a country of law. Cardin says he has confidence in Israel's legal system. Bob Agnew reporting.
Also at townhall.com, Representative David Cicilline has begun asking Democratic colleagues to sign on to a resolution to censure three House Republicans who tried this week to minimize the severity of the January attack on the Capitol.
In a letter to fellow House Democrats, Cicilline of Rhode Island said that a resolution will be forthcoming to specifically censor Republicans Andrew Clyde and Jody Heiss, both of Georgia, and Paul Gosar of Arizona, for their remarks at a House Oversight and Reform Committee hearing on Wednesday, downplaying and making claims about the violent attack on the Capitol. Cicilline says several Republicans during Wednesday's oversight hearing on the federal and local response to the attack repeatedly tried to downplay the violence of the rioters trying to forcibly stop Congress from certifying President Biden's election victory. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
California Governor Gavin Newsom says he wants to use a small part of the state's massive budget surplus to encourage guaranteed income programs. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Wake up, men. You're more than a job title. You're greater than the balance in the bank. Status fades, but character and courage leave a legacy that lasts. Don't let your yesterdays define your tomorrow. You are made for much more. In a sequel to the instant bestseller Kingdom Man, Tony Evans' Kingdom Man Rising urges men to embody the greatness God's already given them. Get the book, Kingdom Man Rising, to discover how.
Kingdom Man Rising from Tony Evans.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Happy to talk about someone I've known and respected for quite a while, Mark Hutchison. Mark most recently served as our state's lieutenant governor, and now he's back full-time at his law firm, Hutchison & Steffen. One of the ways he and his partners help businesses is when they face a dispute with the government. Sometimes clients are caught up in a blizzard of regulations, rules, or procedures of a particular government body, federal, state, county, even city. Sometimes they must appear at hearings or attempt to negotiate a resolution or even fight a decision in court. No matter the problem or the need, if your business becomes entangled with government, you need the skills of the lawyers at Hutchison & Steffen. They'll help you resolve your dispute with the government so you can focus on what you do best, taking care of business. Call 702-385-2500. That's 702-385-2500. Or visit hutchlegal.com. Get the help you need and get out of the government maze. Hutchison & Steffen, your go-to law firm for administrative and regulatory law matters.
It's 4:04. This is your KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Two tax bills which made it through the 2019 legislature without a two-thirds majority have been ruled unconstitutional. The unanimous Nevada Supreme Court decision is a huge win in the Silver State for Republicans who sued over the passage of those two bills. The ruling is expected to have an immediate impact on tax negotiations during the current legislative session. Nevada GOP leaders called the Supreme Court ruling a victory for all Nevadans. The mask mandate has now been relaxed for fully vaccinated in Nevada. The move follows new guidance from the CDC, which allows them to stop wearing face coverings outdoors, in crowds, and in most indoor locations, except in crowded indoor settings like buses, planes, hospitals, prisons, and homeless shelters. But Nevada businesses are still allowed to require customers to mask up. The Vegas Chamber of Commerce is recommending that businesses keep their mask mandates in place. Well, Nevada kids between the ages of 12 and 15 have now been cleared to get that COVID-19 vaccine. An advisory panel to the CDC and a review work group of Western states says the Pfizer vaccine is safe and effective for adolescents between the ages of 12 and 15.
KMZQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Right now, come in for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95.
You're still bumper-to-bumper into the spaghetti bowl on the 515 right now, westbound at Eastern, 515 eastbound at Main Street. That is very slow, and it's causing some sluggishness on that flyover ramp that was leaving Interstate 15 northbound, merging over to 515 eastbound.
Gather around. And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of that.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes, he now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do, when he followed through, the exact opposite.
Check it out! COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. You think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right! To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Great to have you with us on this Friday edition of Live and Local, and joining us now, Michael Schaus, Communications Director for NPRI, the special NPRI report brought to you by our good friend Paul Enos and the folks at Nevada Trucking Association. Michael, I can't recall a busier news week with stuff going on in the afternoon during our show. The world keeps changing all around us. Let's begin with the CDC thing, which I thought was amazing news, game-changing news. But there are still companies that are sticking with masks. Somebody explain that one to me.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I think the important thing to understand is I, being the libertarian guy that I am, I really don't care what companies decide to do. You know, I think a lot of companies are looking at the situation and they say, all right, we're going to continue with masks because, let's face it, there seems to be a social perception out there that masks mean you really care. And by the way, that's really what this boils down to. I mean, keep in mind, you know, the legislature, for example, is going to continue to require masks. A lot of small businesses are going to require it. You got a lot of people like David Hogg saying he's going to wear masks everywhere because he doesn't want to be mistaken for a conservative. Meanwhile, you know, places that really seem to kind of get it would be a lot of the casinos that say, no, we want our guests to feel like they're living a normal life right now. And so most of the casinos have decided that they're going to start dropping mask requirements, at least for the fully vaccinated. So, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And only time will tell how many of these businesses say, all right, let's just drop this mask nonsense and move on with our life.
Well, and just so you know, the folks at MGM Resorts is saying our customers don't have to wear masks, but our employees do. Does that sound logical to you? We're gonna let the customers go mask free, but our employees, our beloved employees, we're gonna make them be masked.
We're so beyond rational thought on this issue. It's actually kind of almost comical. It'd be comical if it didn't impact my life so much. We're beyond rational thought big time here. Not just with MGM, but in general. I mean, from the very beginning of the pandemic, one of the things that I've said is I understand that there's probably some utility in wearing masks in some circumstances. And that's a lot of qualifiers. Some utility in some circumstances. What has happened is that we've had these mandates that say you have to wear masks all the time. And it just doesn't make sense. I think most people know it doesn't make sense. On the other side of things, people need to understand, you know, this is the result of a year of ridiculous mandates. In a normal world where people had self-agency and could make their own decisions, if you walked into a business and nobody was wearing a mask and you were freaked out about that because you were worried about your health, you'd turn around and you'd leave. You wouldn't ask for anybody to mandate anything. You would just turn around and you'd leave. And I think that's what businesses and people need to relearn, is that we can make our own decisions about how we feel about these things.
Let me just ask you, the mask has become such a political issue. Are you satisfied that this lifting the mask mandate, that it is based on science rather than on politics?
You know, I don't think that there ever should have been a mandate in the first place. You know, science can't tell us what we have to do. Science can only inform our decision. For example, scientifically, we know scientifically traveling at high speeds on a highway is an inherently dangerous thing to do. And yet we don't let science dictate our speed limits. We don't say everybody only go 5 miles an hour, otherwise people might die. We as individuals and as a society make our own decisions about how much risk we are willing to take. And in most cases, in our daily lives, we as individuals get to act on what kind of risk tolerance we want to expose ourselves to. And the last year of ridiculous, petty, authoritarian dictates from governors across the country has completely eliminated that aspect of personal responsibility. So there never should have been a mandate to begin with. And that doesn't mean, me saying that there never should have been a mask mandate doesn't mean that in some circumstances wearing a mask wouldn't have been a prudent thing to do.
Is this the final milepost before we reopen the entire country? 100% capacity?
I think it is an important one. I don't know if it's the final one, but it's definitely important, because if people are walking around, I mean, consider a casino for a second. If all of a sudden people are in a casino and they don't have those big glass partitions, if they're actually full capacity at a roulette table or at a craps table, and if they're looking around and everybody's just sitting there enjoying themselves the way that they used to, say, a year and a half ago, it's going to feel like normal times, and we're not going to be living in this state of fear. So it is very symbolic, but I think it's an important symbolic piece of getting back to normal, because people won't be reminded of COVID every time they step out into the world from their work-at-home situation.
I want to ask you about the governor. May 1st, he essentially stepped away from some of the emergency powers that he gathered beginning March 17. And I'm just curious about his status politically and where this leaves him. He's facing re-election. There's all kinds of talk there might be a primary. And certainly Republicans are lining up around the block to run against him. What about his political future?
Well, Republicans lining up around the block might be one of the potentially worrisome things for Republicans. I would say that Governor Sisolak would probably be in a lot more political danger if there was a very clear, one, two, three, maybe even four folks who look like really, really possible contenders for that position. As it is, we know that just because of the nature of things, if we start to get back to normal and people start to feel really good and optimistic about things, all of a sudden the last year is not going to be weighing on people's mind quite as heavily. Now, I would caution, if I was an advisor to Governor Sisolak, I would caution him that things aren't going to get back to normal super quick for a lot of folks. It might get back to normal pretty quick for some casino operators, but a lot of the people who lost their jobs, lost their income, lost various forms of income, maybe fell way behind on their rental payments, those folks, they're going to be feeling this for a long time, and they're going to remember not that it was COVID, but that it was Governor Sisolak who took their job away.
Yeah, and screwed up Dieter. I mean, you look at all the things that this governor did and didn't do. To me, it smacks of incompetence, not necessarily that he's a bad dude or that he's mean-spirited or any of that other stuff. I'm talking about just incompetence. And this governor has just proven that he is incompetent to run a state the size of Nevada.
Schools are going to be the number one
thing.
I mean, you think about, just as a parent, I mean, you look around and you see casinos going back. I mean, even several months ago, casinos were getting back to quote-unquote normal. You saw some businesses, you were able to go to Walmart, but your kid was stuck at home learning part-time on a computer and not really learning much at all. That right there should be a big question mark as to what kind of leadership do we have in the state. And regardless of whether or not it was directly Sisolak's fault, people aren't going to think terribly nuanced. They're going to think this last year was crazy. We're still paying for this last year. And Governor Sisolak was the guy that was in charge during that chaos.
Again, joining us, a guy who knows where all the bones are buried when it comes to the state of Nevada and our nation. He has libertarian ties. He is Michael Schaus, Communications Director for NPRI. And by the way, this special NPRI report brought to you by our friends at Nevada Trucking Association. Let's move on from here. June 1 is coming up. We have a kind of a bargain from the governor. And it essentially says you get to 60% in a vaccination rate, both shots, one shot, doesn't matter, and we'll let you go to 100% capacity on June 1. We're not anywhere close. We're at 50%. We'd like to get to 60%, and that's what we've been told. Are we going to get there?
We probably. I mean, I think a lot of folks are, I don't know for sure that we're going to get there by June 1st, but sometime fairly soon I think we will, because a lot of folks are looking around and, they say it's just going to, life is going to be easier if I know I have the vaccine. So a lot of people are probably lining up still to get the vaccine. That being said, though, we should go back to the very beginning here and remember that the governor doesn't have the authority to be making these rules in the first place. And this is something that's really important to keep in mind. I was actually talking to some local leaders, and I was reminding them he does not have this authority. If local jurisdictions don't want to follow this, they really shouldn't. And that's something that everybody should be impressing upon their local leaders is, hey, Governor Sisolak does not have the authority to tell us how open our businesses can be under an emergency declaration that has lasted well over a year.
And by the way, nine counties, last time I checked, and maybe more now, nine counties have essentially said, we're done with the mask mandate, with social distancing. Folks are even having their county commission meetings without masks already. They've been doing this for weeks. So the governor is a little bit behind the times. CDC is way behind the times. More coming up with Michael Shouse, communications director for NPRI. We're going to talk about some of the other news of the day, and the big news everybody's been talking about is the state Supreme Court. And they've ruled that the two-thirds rule is that two bills, tax bills, in 2019 were unconstitutional because of the two-thirds rule. We'll talk about that and more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ.
Las Vegas Best Talk. Mike Gallagher, 6 to 9. Heidi Harris engages you, 9 to noon. Listen to Charlie Kirk, noon to 3. Drive home with Kevin Wall, 3 to 6. And end your day with Jim Bohannon, 7 to 10. AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
With the MultiCare Group, buying life insurance has never been easier. Whatever you need, life insurance, health insurance, or even long-term care, we can help. Call 702-396-9449. The MultiCare Group has access to all the best markets for your needs. Life insurance quotes are available right now, and they're very inexpensive. In this uncertain world, you need affordability. If you're a male 50, you can buy life insurance of $500,000 for only $41. That's $41 a month. Give us a call today for your no-obligation quote. We provide you with all the personal services you need. And the best part, we will always be with you every step of the way. The MultiCare Group makes buying insurance simple. You may want to inquire about long-term care. We have the most innovative plans available. Call us and find out how you can get care at your own home from a long-term care policy. Call the MultiCare Group today and get peace of mind at 702-396-9449. That's 396-9449. Call us today.
This is your Money Minute. I'm Steve Siddall. The financial world is full of buzzwords, and one that I've been hearing lately is called decumulation. And here to break that down for us is America's wealth coach and best-selling author, Coach Pete DeRuda. So, Coach, decumulation, I know that's one of your favorites.
Don't you love the word, the algae? There's so many words, so many definitions. It all comes down to this, Steve. Whatever you have, you need to keep. And whatever you keep, you need to make sure that you can benefit from. And you benefit by having your own lifetime income account. So how do you keep things, though? Still, Coach, I'm in the market. It's up and down all around. How do I keep it? Well, you form an exit strategy and a liquidation strategy where you know when your stocks hit a certain point, you're going to take a certain amount of that money out of the market and put it in a place you can never lose it again. Sort of like the nest egg accounts. The geese used to sit on the nest and it would hatch big golden eggs. We can have your very own golden egg. Here's how you do it, Steve. You get away from all the terminology out there in the world. And there's two main terms that mean a lot. Income and you. How much income are you going to get and how much is your spouse going to get? Everything else really doesn't matter to you. You really need to make sure you have that total plan in place. We call it a financial fill-up strategy. Now, it all comes down to retirement planning and how to create that retirement income you can never outlive. There's a lot of people out there talking about giving you retirement income, but it expires. We can't have an expiration date on our income. Our income needs to outlive us. That means you and your spouse, and also your income plan should not disappear when you and your spouse are gone. Whatever's left should go on to your next of kin. That's possible, Steve, to have a total retirement plan and a total income plan, but you have to get it done, and you have to get it done in writing. So the next 20 people call, we'll do it for you. Right now, that's $1,000 value, no fee or obligation.
You heard Coach Pete. Take advantage of the offer today by calling or texting 888-702-6932. That's right. Call or text for today's offer. 888-702-6932. 888-702-6932.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Financial Advisory Group, a Nevada registered financial advisor.
Laborers Union Local 872 is committed to ensuring the safety and health of their workforce. Here are five recommendations to keep you and everyone safe on the job site. Perform a self-assessment before arriving on the job site. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Keep your distance. Adhering to the regulations and limit large group interactions. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
There's a reason certified pre-owned Land Rovers enjoy such an outstanding reputation. They were once new Land Rovers. With 100,000-mile and up to 7 years coverage, certified pre-owned Land Rovers still have plenty of life left in the tank. They're like new in every respect and waiting to take you on your next adventure. Come find your certified pre-owned vehicle today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas at our new location, 6425 Roy Horn Way, on the south side of the 215, just west of Jones.
Big name guests, the news of the day, mixed in with a diversity of opinions. Live and local with Kevin Wall, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KNZQ. Talk radio done right.
Lots of great news this week. As we wrap up this week, Michael Shouse joining us, Communications Director for NPRI, and of course this special NPRI report brought to you by Paulinos and all the good folks at Nevada Trucking Association. I want to ask you about the two-thirds rule that is in our, not just in the legislature, but it's actually in our Constitution. Can you talk a little bit about the backstory of what all went down the other day with the Supreme Court ruling unanimously that the Democrats violated our Constitution not once but twice?
Yeah, I mean, it's really easy. We've got this provision in our Constitution that says any measure that increases, or let's see, I think it says, which generates, creates, or increases any public revenue in any form has to have two-thirds support in both chambers of our state legislature. And the Democrats basically ignored that in 2019. They put forward a proposal to extend the modified business tax. That tax was set to, part of that tax was set to expire following the 2019 legislative session, and they decided that they were going to extend it. And at first they did that looking for two-thirds support. When they didn't get two-thirds support, they went back, rewrote the law, and said, this time we don't need two-thirds support. And they passed it without that constitutionally required support. Their argument was, because it just maintains current tax levels rather than allowing some of them sunset, it wasn't actually an increase in revenue. The reason why that's laughable, Kevin, is think about a car loan. If you've got two payments left on your car loan, so you're paying $300 a month, and you only have two payments left, then you're going to pay off your car loan, and it's going to be yours. And all of a sudden, the bank calls you and says, I'm sorry, we want you to continue to pay for the next 20 years. That would be a cost increase. That would be you paying more money to the bank than you originally anticipated, and therefore, it would be an increase in revenue for the bank. So that's basically what this Supreme Court case is all about. The Supreme Court looked at it and said, yeah, these bills were passed with the express purpose of increasing revenue above the amount that the state would otherwise get, and therefore, they needed two-thirds support, and they didn't get it. And it's a great ruling because the court literally, all seven justices agreed, and they literally just looked at the word any and said, yeah, that word actually means what we think it means. It means that you have to get two-thirds support for any attempt to raise revenue.
So what happens to the, and I've been told the figure is something like $109 million that's been collected under these two different bills. What happens now? How do we get this money back?
Yeah, so part of the, one of the bills was regarding a $1 fee at the DMV. So every time you did a transaction at the DMV, they charge you a dollar, and they raise something like $40-some-odd million off of that. They're actually in the process of figuring out how to refund that amount to people that had to pay it. So that's good news. I guess you might get a dollar in the mail sometime.
God.
Now, the rest of it, the stuff that was supposed to be collected through the Modified Business Tax, what's going to happen is they're going to have to figure out, A, how to fill that budget hole, because obviously they've spent the money they've already collected and they were depending on that money for the next few years. But then they also have to figure out what they're going to do in terms of refunding that, giving credits to people that actually paid it. They're going to have to take a quick look at what exactly they need to do to fulfill the constitutional obligation of not collecting this tax that was passed illegally.
What does this mean going forward? I know NPRI has some court action that's going on now that's going to go before the state Supreme Court. Is it any indicators based on this ruling that might make you guys feel a little more optimistic going forward?
Well, it's always a little difficult to try to pick up indicators from one case to the other. But one thing I will say is I was really encouraged reading over the ruling that the court issued on this particular case, because they were very, very adamant that what the Constitution says when it says any form of revenue, it really means any form of revenue. Now, the court case that Nevada policy has going up in front of the Supreme Court, that's regarding lawmakers who also serve in government. So they serve in two separate branches of government at the same time. And there's a constitutional provision saying that you cannot perform, quote, any function in more than one branch of government. And so we're looking at this ruling that just came out this week, and we're saying, you know, there are some parallels when it comes to the use of language, and that's potentially an encouraging sign.